KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06, it's mostly clear. We're at 18 degrees. Looking forward to be partly cloudy today with a high near 50. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jeff Morenz of Stifel Investments. Iowa's coronavirus dashboard as of just before 7 a.m. today showed deaths from COVID-19 are up again, but hospitalizations and long-term care facility outbreaks are down significantly. The IDPH says 84 more deaths have been reported since 10 a.m. Thursday, for a total of 2,603. One death was reported in each of Cass, Madison, Mills, and Union counties, and there have been three more deaths in Pottawatomie County. Long-term care facilities report 1,092 deaths, and those deaths attributed in part to pre-existing conditions amount to 1,361. There are 2,895 new positive cases of COVID-19 statewide, for a total of 239,687. And officials say that 30,474 of the positive cases had a pre-existing condition. Cass County has 17 more cases for 857 and 25 deaths. Adair County has 6 more cases for a total of 459. Adams County has 5 more cases for a total of 182. Pottawatomie County is up 176 cases to 6,885, by far the largest increase in positive COVID cases in our listening area. You can find that information and more in the same story on the news page at KJAN.com. Well, health officials in Cass County are trying to get the word out about a recent shipment of flu vaccine that they've received from the state. Amy Anstey, a Cass County public health nurse, said the vaccinations are available at no charge for everyone, including persons from outside the county.
Iowa Department of Public Health sent us a bunch of flu vaccine so that we could get those out to the general public and try to make sure that all of our folks here in Cass County or surrounding counties even have access to that. Whether you have insurance or you're underinsured or uninsured, we have the vaccine for free.
And she says their focus is to get it to those who have not received the flu shot, and it's not too late for you to get one. She suggests, though, you call ahead to get your vaccination.
It would be great to call ahead. There are two nurses, myself and another nurse that work here, just to make sure that one of us is here. So it does help to call ahead and make an appointment, although if somebody wanted to stop in, they sure could. All we do is have them fill out a consent form, and then it takes about 5 minutes total from door to door.
And she said people shouldn't confuse the flu vaccine with the vaccine against the coronavirus.
Yeah, I would recommend getting the flu shot as soon as possible, as soon as they're able to get in, and make sure they're covered for the influenza. And then as soon as we get the COVID vaccine, but that'll be, it's a different thing. And so there's no contraindication or no reason not to do the flu vaccine now and get that done, and then be ready for when we have that COVID vaccine in.
And she says it's important for people to understand also that by getting a flu shot, you are not being given the flu, and it will not cause the flu.
So what actually happens with that is that our body has an immune reaction, which we want it to that flu vaccine. So we want to build up antibodies is what we're trying to do. We're trying to get our immune system to attack that virus and build up some antibodies so that at that point, hopefully we either can avoid getting the flu altogether or we have a mild case. So we might have a little bit of fever or muscle aches, cough, that kind of thing, but it's something that you would get over fairly quickly and not have any other issues with
it. And if you currently have COVID symptoms, which we've explained to you several times what those are, you can take the Test Iowa assessment. It's easy, it's fast, and it's confidential. Providers will soon be running both a flu swab and COVID swab, Anstey says, to determine whether you have a cold or a positive case of the coronavirus. Flu shots are available 7 days a week with weekends by appointment only. To schedule or for any questions, call 712-250-8008. And Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds on Thursday said the first of 172,000 total doses of a vaccine to protect Iowans against the coronavirus are set to arrive in a little more than a week. The first 26,000 doses produced by Pfizer, pending regulatory approval, should arrive by December 13th.
The week of December 20th, we anticipate another 31 doses of the Pfizer vaccine. And pending its approval, our first shipment of 54,000 doses of the Moderna vaccine. The week of December 27th, another 95,000 doses of the Pfizer vaccine and 77 doses of the Moderna vaccine, are anticipated to arrive in Iowa.
Healthcare professionals, including long-term care center staff and their patients, will be a priority when it comes to getting the vaccine, according to Interim Director of the Department of Iowa Public Health, Kelly Garcia, who says a portion of Iowa's initial distribution will be to healthcare facilities. She said the CDC is allocating the COVID-19 vaccine in Iowa based on population size and target population, such as the elderly and immunocompromised persons. Garcia said the state's nailed down 39 locations so far for ultra-cold storage for that vaccine. And she says by the middle of next year, there should be plenty of vaccine for everyone who wants it. Taking a look at the funeral announcements this morning on KJAN, Cleo Berger, age 89, of Atlantic, died Sunday. Graveside services for Cleo Berger will be this afternoon at 1:30 at the St. Peter and Paul Catholic Cemetery in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Masks will be required, social distancing, and there will be allowable numbers of people inside or outside. They'll be keeping an eye on that. Margaret Anderson, age 81, of Brayton, died Monday. Graveside funeral services for Margaret Anderson will be today at 1:30 at St. John's Cemetery west of Exira. Kessler Funeral Home of Exira has arrangements. Masks will be required. Social distancing will be observed. Dorothy Anderson, age 82, of Shelby, died November 25th. A visitation for Dorothy Anderson will be today from 2 until 7 p.m. at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Shelby. A viewing and guest book will be available, but the family will not be present, and CDC guidelines will be observed. Masks are required. Eileen Goodrich, age 93, of Panora, died Sunday. Funeral services for Eileen Goodrich will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. Irene Arkfeld, age 96, of Panama, died Sunday. A private family mass of Christian burial for Irene Arkfeld will be Saturday at 11 a.m. at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Erling. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Ray Leto, age 83, of Greenfield, died Tuesday in Johnston. A mass of Christian burial for Ray Leto will be on Saturday at 11 o'clock at St. John's Catholic Church in Greenfield, with Steen Funeral Home of Greenfield has in charge of the arrangements. Masks will be required and social distancing will take place. Lola Linton, age 55, of Harlan, died Saturday. Private family funeral services for Lola Linton will be held tomorrow at 11 a.m. at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Kelly Williams, age 58, of Atlantic, died November 26th in Des Moines. Funeral services for Kelly Williams will be Saturday at 2 o'clock at the First Church of Christ in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Service has the arrangements. Masks will be required and social distancing will take place. And that service will also be live streamed on the funeral home's website. Patricia Bloom, age 84, of Harlan, died Wednesday at Murtu Medical Center. A private family graveside service for Patricia Bloom will be Saturday at 2 o'clock at St. Mary's Cemetery in Panama, with Paulie Jones Funeral Home of Harlan in charge of arrangements. Rosie Hansen, age 81, of Atlantic, died November 21st. Alan Hansen, age 80, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Cass County Hospital. A private family graveside service for Rosie and Alan Hansen will be in the Atlantic Cemetery, with Hockenberry Family Care of Atlantic in charge of arrangements. Dolores D. Agard, age 93, who's formerly of Audubon, died Sunday in Coralville. Private family funeral services will be held for D. Agard at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has the arrangements. There will be a recording of the service, and it will not be live streamed, but again, there will be a recording and posted on the Kessler Funeral Home Facebook page within 24 hours of the service. Kelly Schlake, age 60, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at Iowa Methodist in Des Moines. Funeral services for Kelly Schlake will be on Monday at 10:30 at Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home has the arrangements. The service will be live streamed, with additional details available on Roland's website. Keep in mind that masks will be required at the service and visitation. Becky Ferris, age 62, of Atlantic, died Monday at her home. Cremation has taken place and no services are planned for Becky Ferris at this time. Hockenberry Family Care has the arrangements. Dennis Priester, age 69, of Marnie, the owner of the Roadhouse Bar and Grill in Marnie, died Sunday, and per his wishes, cremation will take place. A celebration of life for Dennis Priester will be held at a later date. Hockenberry Family Care of Atlantic has arrangements. The news was brought to you by Jeff Moranz of Stiefel Investments. Give him a call at 712-243-5500. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.